If it sounds country, man, that's what it is. It's a country song.
I'm Steve Vinson.
I'm Paul Schultz.
And this is the Don't Panic Radio Show. Sit back, relax, and ignore the news. Nothing you're about to hear is true.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Special episode of Don't Panic. You'll figure out here in a minute. Steve is busy bike riding across Iowa trying to keep from having an accident in more ways than one, which is what you call a callback.
So I was gonna say, like, he's gonna have to recount the story.
I told him he gets next week. I'm just gonna let him go because of my story. That voice you hear, ladies and gentlemen, is none other than Superfan James, who's filling in for Steve. Say hey, Superfan James.
Hey, Superfan James.
We're going to try to run this show without him tonight. So, you know, we've already backed the car out of the garage, and we're just going to let Jesus take the wheel. For those of you who don't know, Superfan James, longtime listener slash contributor to the Don't Panic Radio Show, longtime friend slash babysitter slash gamer. Why don't you tell everybody what you've been up to? And ladies and gentlemen, he's shirtless.
Shirtless for life.
That's right.
Hashtag.
What have you been up to since the last time you were on the show?
Oh, God, since the last time I've been on the show. When was the last time I've been on the show? I feel like I think it was the update.
Yeah. For
Autcraft?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Since then, I've been working, transferred stores, been really, taking indie game development more seriously. I've been reading books and, following online tutorials, putting together some prototype game ideas that I have together.
And growing a wicked goatee, too, I might add.
Yeah. At this point, I don't want to say anything to my bosses because, like, I don't want to give away my Achilles heel. But at this point, I am literally just growing it and growing it until they say something.
That, you know, years ago, my Swedish buddy Michael, who's been on the show before, we had a competition to see who could grow the longest goatee, and mine was so obscenely long that I remember I'd be standing at work, and I'm like hunched over a table and I'm working at a keyboard processing a bunch of stuff, and I kept thinking, what the fuck is on my chest? It's this enormous, ridiculous goatee.
Oh, that's funny. So
it's like I can see it. They're waiting. They want to say something, but they also want you to say something first. They're like, who's going to speak first?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. This is the longest it's ever been. In the store that I was at previously, when it was even, like, shorter than this, they were like, you're going to shave that thing, or are you going to make us have you put on a beard net for it? I'm like, I'll trim it up. At this point, I'm just waiting for them to be like, here, put a beard net on, and then I'm going to, like, trim it down. But at this point, like I said, I'm just going to let it keep on growing until they say something.
Wait for somebody to say something. Yeah. Well, okay, so before we get too far along, so for tonight, we have just kind of what do you want to talk about tonight? What do you have on your plate?
Like I said, in show prep, I've got a couple. I've watched a couple movies recently, a couple that I believe you've talked about with Steve, mm-hmm. and got an idea for a segment for my, you know, for the show. Something maybe I just send your way every time I make one, you add it to the show where I recommend.
Oh, okay.
game ideas, not game ideas, but like games I'm recently playing that like I think maybe some of our audience members will enjoy. I got a list right now. I tried to make it a list that was not hardcore gaming only, in the sense that the game, I've chose some games that require for you to be good at them, but to enjoy them because they're hard to play. Mm-hmm. You would have to be kind of immersed in the gaming experience, where some that I picked two that are more casual, I guess, would be a good way to play it.
Okay. Well, I've noticed, like, with my son, Atticus, he, the podcast that I listen to, the Triforce, you know, those guys are, they're hardcore gamers. And every once in a while, they'll do an episode where all they do, they try not to, but every once
not
in a
anymore.
While, they talk about games. Yeah. And I get so, like, bogged down and bored during those games, and I was talking to Atticus, and I'm like, I don't have any idea what they're talking about. And he's like, well, I know because I watch this, that, and the other thing. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Speaking of Atticus, and speaking of movies, last week, Atticus has wanted to, or the Toad for anybody keeping score at home.
Yeah.
He's been trying to watch as many movies as he can that are movies that Dad likes. You know,
yeah.
He's 14, almost 15. He'll be 15 in December. He wants to watch a lot of these movies, and he's gone beyond just superhero movies now. He wants to see the movies that we watched several months ago. We watched Pootie Tang, and he was just like, now I get like half of what you say around the house, Dad.
Yeah.
So he wanted to watch Smokey and the Bandit, which is one of my guilty pleasures. I love that movie. As far as like car chase movies, you know, Smokey and the Bandit was the big one that introduced the whole, you know, introduced the com, you know, became the one that everybody knew about. Before that, there was like Vanishing Point, which if you've never seen Vanishing Point, you owe it to yourself to find Vanishing Point. That was the one that started car chase movies. Smokey and the Bandit made it a household thing. So we were going over to my parents' house for the weekend, and I got a copy of Smokey and the Bandit, and it's also one of my dad's favorite movies. Well, my son comes into the TV room, and he sits in grandpa's chair, you know, he kicks out the lazy boy effect, and he's sitting there, and my dad's at his computer, you know, and I'm like, well, I'm going to start Smokey and the Bandit. Like, okay. So my mom sits down, and my dad shuts his computer off and turns around. And my mom looks at my dad, and he's like, she's like, do you want to sit in your chair? You know, because my dad, of course, has the chair. You know the dad thing. It's lined up with the TV. That's a thing. We do that. Well, he's like, no, that's okay. So, you know, we watched the movie. Of course, it's such a fun movie. It's so ridiculous and dumb, and it's a lot of fun. And the whole time, you know, Atticus is sitting in Grandpa's chair. Grandpa's over in the corner, and we go through all the Have you ever seen the movie?
I have not.
Okay, well, you owe it to yourself to go to the library. Yeah. That's probably the only place you'll find it. It's dumb, but it's completely pointless. But it's so much fun. Anyway, so we get to the end of it. You know, we're laughing, having a good time. And the movie ends, and Atticus decides he's going to go to bed. So he wanders off, and then Grandpa decides he's going to bed because it's getting late. So he goes to bed, which leaves my mom and I sitting in the living room. And Grandpa closes the door to the bedroom. And I just looked at her, and I looked at his empty chair, and I looked back at her. And she's like, what? I'm like, if I was sitting in that chair, he would get the hell out of my chair. I'm trying to watch Smokey and the Bandit. But, you know, it's a grandkid, so he's like, oh, no, he can sit over there.
I was just thinking that. It was like, if it was your ass in that chair, you would have been fucking out of it.
I'll do
so
the
fast.
Same thing here. It's like, my he'll be sitting in my chair. And I'll come in there and I'm like, man, get the hell out of my chair. And he'll jump up out of the chair and go sit on the couch. And then, like, Aramis will come in the room and she's like, where can I sit? I'm like, you sit in my chair. And he looks at me like, ah. And she'll jump into it all, like, cheese-eating grin, you know, like, crossing her legs, putting her hands behind her head, you know, like,
hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, it's so, so funny. It's like, how? I can remember as a kid, if my dad came in, okay, he got off work, you know, he comes home, he goes, does stuff out in the garage, and he comes in the house, and he sits in the chair, and he could feel, he's like, this chair is still warm. Who the hell is sitting in my chair? You know? So you'd have to get out of his chair about 2 hours before you knew he was coming home. Just to keep from him going off about somebody sitting in his chair. But now he's like, no, he can sit there.
Yeah.
So do you have a dad chair?
No, but actually we were thinking about... So I have been wanting to get rid of one of the couches in the living room for a very long time because there's just, we don't have a whole lot of room in the living room. And my wife has been like, okay, we can get rid of one, but actually we can even get rid of both of them. I just want a replacement for them. So I'm like, well, why can't I just get rid of one now? And then once we get a replacement, we can get rid of the other one and just, you know, live with one, not big couch, but it's like bigger than a love seat, but smaller than like a three seater. And we have that, and we have like a love seat or like a couple's chair almost. It's like, I don't know if you can even call it a love seat. It's so small. But I was able to get rid of that small ass one. And so we are thinking about going this weekend shopping for a recliner. Ah.
Is it, okay, it's not a love seat, but is it a loving seat?
It wasn't so damn... close to the ground.
Well, I've noticed though that your son has a dad chair.
Yeah, actually, when I was a little kid, about his age, and up until probably almost out of elementary school, I think we eventually finally got rid of it. I actually have a scar from that fucking thing.
Well, see, you're of the generation though that became a thing, because. My oldest, my stepson, Aiden, he had one. It's like, how does he get one, but I don't get one?
Yeah, I had a little mini recliner, and so I'm pretty sure my parents bought it for him.
Probably.
I think they bought it and had it shipped here, because he's like, well, you had one as a kid, and so he needs one. And, actually, because he didn't have it, it was in the closet, and I actually had... got rid of the couch, and then I brought it out, and he's like, oh, I'm going to put this somewhere, and he puts it right in front of the TV, like 3 feet from the TV, in the middle of the room. I'm like, no, like, you can't be in the middle of the room. So I slid him back to where he was, and he doesn't watch cartoons. He mainly watches his YouTube videos, which I'm sure I'll get flack for, but God, that kid has learned so much.
No, you're not getting any flack from me. I understand how.
Yeah, not from you, but maybe the viewers. But he has learned more from that stupid phone than he has from going to preschool for 2 years.
And he'll probably learn more from his stupid phone than he was for the rest of his school career.
Probably. Well,
I was the other day, you know, Aiden and his buddies were over because we play D&D once a week. And I was talking to him about, I'm like, what did you guys learn? And they're like, we literally learned nothing. I said, here's what's going to happen. You're going to learn more in the next 5 years than you learned in the past 5 years.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about this on the show about the state of education and whatnot and how you literally learn nothing. You learn how to pass a test, and that's all they care about. And at first, when they were talking about it, I was just kind of like aghast. I'm like, what happened? What happened to education? And then I went, wait a minute, dumbass. Do you remember spending hours and hours and hours in the library after you graduated learning stuff? Oh, that's right. Whatever happened to public education happened a long, long time ago.
Yeah. He never watches cartoons on the TV. Uh-huh. But yeah, he had sat down in his chair and he's like, and he asked me if I could put cartoons on. So I slid him back against the wall and I was like, hey, check this out. And I tilted him back. So he stretched back, put his hands behind his head and was just watching cartoons. So I think his grandmother was like, oh, he looks like he worked hard all day. I go, yeah, I almost said to him, I was like, yeah, it's almost as if he de-iced the freezer by himself and threw the couch out the front door by himself.
That's right. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, for anybody who missed it, SFJ posted pictures of himself defrosting his refrigerator. And he was, of course, shirtless, which accounted for most of the melting of the ice.
That's actually funny. I was listening to you guys while I was doing it. I was just listening to the latest episode. And you guys are talking about, oh, maybe he'll be shirtless. And I was like, he's always shirtless. So I was like, that's it. Challenge accepted.
Right.
Took off my shirt. It was fucking wet anyway.
That's right.
And so I'm like, going to take a picture, de-icing it, posting it to Facebook. And I'm going to, like, whenever I think about it, I'm going to take a picture, selfie, a shirtless selfie, and I'm going to post it to Facebook.
There needs to be more shirtless Superfan James on the Don't Panic Facebook page.
You guys can't get all the only you guys can't be the only ones enjoying this. The whole viewership needs to experience this.
Sorry, ladies, he's married. Yeah. See, you unfortunately, I cannot post my own pictures because you know. Facebook probably wouldn't allow that to happen.
Oh God, they'd fucking be pounding at your door.
We had a while back we had MP Cavalier on the show, and while we were setting up, he asked me, he's like, so I have one more question. I'm like, what's that? He goes, pants or no pants? I'm like, you mean right now? He's like, no, I don't want to know if you're not wearing pants right now. I want to know if we have to wear it for the show. I'm like, hey, it's optional. Whatever you feel comfortable in, man. Whatever you feel comfortable in.
Right?
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message. I love you. Now, back to our show.
You said you had some movie reviews or something to that effect? You want the shirtless Superfan James review? Which sounds like a band, by the way.
Yeah, shirtless for life.
That's right.
Totally brave.
You need that as a tattoo.
Oh, yeah. God.
just the word brave.
Yeah. Well, I can put it on this side. I already got something right here.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, got some movies to talk
about?
Yeah.
You had said something, I believe, in one of the recent episodes about Hail Caesar.
Hmm.
With George Clooney, Josh Brolin.
I don't remember that, but go right ahead. I mean, keep going.
Okay, well, Hail Caesar came out in 2016. It was a movie about... Yeah, it was a movie about where, in the 1950s, post-war Hollywood, where the certain movie companies, like, owned the actors.
Oh, yeah, they really the did. That's not even a farce.
Yeah, like... In the beginning of the movie, it follows this actor, not the actor, but follows the boss of this movie studio. I don't like he seemed in charge of like the whole building, but he definitely looked like he had like superiors because he talks to the one on the phone. But like he seemed like the head honcho that actually is like on the ground instead of like in an office somewhere. And he's like sitting outside of a house at like 5 a.m. and he goes inside and busts some actress trying to take some they were tasteful photos. They were like so almost like for like a like a magazine or something. But he walks in, he rips out the negatives, and is like, Silverlight Studio owns the likeness of this actress, and like, get out. And it was pretty cool. I gave it like a an 8 out of 10. You know what I liked about that movie, Paul? How long ago did you see it?
I haven't seen it yet, but I know about it.
Oh, okay. The reason why I enjoyed it, because it is a very strange kind of movie. You probably might not even like the directors. Is the Coen brothers?
Oh, God, no, I'm a huge fan.
Okay, because I know they wrote, or they directed, like, No Country for Old Men.
Yes.
Which you didn't care for.
I didn't care for the ending. I liked the movie, I just didn't care for the ending.
Yeah, the ending was very strange. Mm-hmm. It was almost like that. A lot of dialogue, which I like, but the reason why I liked the movie, after watching the whole movie and getting to the end, it never turned into a slapstick kind of comedy. Mm-hmm. There are parts where there's like obstacles, and it's like they have solutions for these obstacles. What the movie's about? George Clooney, who plays a actor in the movie, actor playing an actor, and he gets kidnapped by communists. And they hold him for ransom, and they tell the Josh Brolin, who is the boss, like, "Oh, we have him. We want $100,000, and we'll return him." And they contact him, and they said, "Put the money behind the power panel, the electrical panel at stage two or whatever." And after that point, I was just expecting like, the money's missing. Oh my God, what do we do? Like, you know, something like that. But like, it's never stupid like that. Like,
yeah.
What I liked about the movie, ultimately, what the reason why I enjoyed the movie was the same reason why I really enjoy like watching people who play video games. I enjoy people who are doing something competently.
Yeah.
It follows the boss, that is the main character of the movie, and he is faced with all these different obstacles, and he never gets flustered. He always has a solution, and he's going through this whole movie, and he's very competent.
That's like the gist of the TV series 30 Rock. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah.
Yeah. But of course, Liz Lemon gets flustered all the time. No, I love the Coen brothers. In fact, the funny thing about Coen brothers is, like, 30 years ago when they did Raising Arizona. You've seen Raising Arizona, right?
No.
Okay. Well, here's your homework. You need to see Raising Arizona.
And Smokey and the Bandit.
But you know what? Before Smokey and the Bandit, see Raising Arizona. Anyway, me and Steve and my little brother and I think D went and saw Raising Arizona. And from like frame one to the end, we were laughing so hard because it's that kind of humor that like will go over most people's heads. It's very smart and dumb at the same time. We were laughing so hard. We got out of the movies. We're sitting in Steve's car, and he goes, "Man, that is the dumbest movie I have ever seen." And my little brother doesn't miss a cue. He's like, "Motherfucker, you were laughing harder than all of us. So don't tell me that movie was dumb."
Right?
But no, in fact, sometimes at the end of the show, I put the old man going, "Oh, bullshit. That's from..." Yeah. Raising Arizona.
Raising.
The funny thing I heard about the Coen brothers, I don't remember which actor it was, but they were talking, they were on like Inside the Actor's Studio with, you know, James Lipton and his, you know, gigantic stack of blue cards that he'd be lost without. And his cue card asked, you know, "What's it like working for the Coen brothers?" And the actor was like, "Well, here's the thing about working with the Coen brothers. One of them will come up to you and go, 'Okay, in this scene, I want you to do this.'" And, you know, they'll talk through how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little while later, the other Coen brother will come up and go, okay, on this scene, I want you to do this. And it'll be the exact opposite of what the other one says. So here's right. the actor going, what the fuck do I do? So he just kind of has to meet in the middle. And it's that
yeah.
that polar opposite idea is what creates these amazing, amazing movies.
Yeah.
Raising yeah. Arizona is one of the two, out of the 5,000 movies that Nicolas Cage has made, Raising Arizona is one of the two movies he's made that I not only actually like, but I fucking love. And what that boils down to is, as I explained it to my daughter one time, because we were talking about how bad Nicolas Cage is, and I said, now, a good director can make a shitty actor a good actor.
Yeah.
And he did. They did for Raising Arizona. Nicolas Cage is fucking perfect in that movie.
What was the other movie by...
the other... Well, he didn't... It's not a Coen Brothers movie, but right, it's a David Lynch movie called Wild at Heart.
With Nicolas Cage?
Yes. The book is amazing. The movie took the book, dropped some acid, and made a movie.
Is that the movie where he's a big fat fuck?
No.
Oh. There was a movie, that I think with Nicolas Cage, that a guy I used to work with loved, because he was like, there's one part with a movie where Nicolas Cage is driving and he gets pulled over, and he calls somebody a big fat fuck.
Hmm.
And he's like, big fat, and then looks over at the girl and goes, fuck. No, and she just like melts in the seat.
That wasn't... But Wild at Heart has some stellar dialogue in it. Barry Gifford wrote the book Wild at Heart that got turned into the movie Wild at Heart by yeah. David Lynch. And it's also one of the few David Lynch movies that I don't want to pull out my eyeballs when I try to watch.
I noticed that like you just don't like recent Nicolas Cage movies, or I guess really, he's old. I didn't realize how, because like, Raising Arizona was 1987, and Wild at Heart was 1990.
Everything else is crap. Okay, here's a classic example of a bad Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh, God. Please.
City of Angels, I think it's called. Now, here's what happens. There's a girl. I think it's Elizabeth Shue, maybe. She's wandering through this library, just kind of lost. And she comes around the corner. And here's Nicolas Cage looking like the obsessive ex-girlfriend. And he's like, out of the blue, he's like, I want to talk to you about God and Jesus. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, what? I guarantee if I went to the library and walked around the corner and just like got in some girl's face and said, I want to talk to you about Jesus, I'd get maced, banned from the library. Yeah. And possibly arrested. But yet she falls for it hook, line, and sinker. It's such a terrible movie.
Yeah, it didn't really get... It's like 6.7 on IMDb, 58% on Rotten Tomatoes. And
that's a generous... You know why I got 58%? Because women love that movie, and they went on and voted.
Maybe, because it has... Google users is 88% like this movie.
I dated a girl who loved that movie. And I just remember sitting and going, yeah, this isn't going to go anywhere. I can't date you.
Yeah.
Because you like City of Angels.
But yeah, Hail Caesar, I really liked it because it was just like watching a very competent person
yeah.
do stuff. It got like a 6.3 out of 10 from IMDb. The critics at Rotten Tomatoes gave it about an 85%. Audience didn't really care for it. This is only like 44% compared to the 85 from the critics.
I think sometimes movies are too good.
I give it an 8 out of 10 because of the storytelling, where the fact that it didn't. There's so many points that the movie is like, They can ruin it right here, and mm-hmm. they didn't. And it was a little strange, like, the whole communist... I mean, I get it, because it was 1950 post-war, and, like, yeah. communism was a huge thing. That was actually part of the plot, because there was a journalist who was going to write something bad about one of the actors in the movies, and they go, like, you're not going to do that. Well, why not? Well, your source just got found out as a communist, and so now if you publish that article, you're going to be considered a communist
sympathizer.
Yeah,
it was exactly that bad.
Yeah. So I, because of all those things in that movie, I really, really enjoyed it.
I'm going to check it out, but I'm willing to bet that it had that Coen Brothers dialogue snap. That just, you've seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, right?
Yes. Absolutely love that movie.
That dialogue snap that they're so good at.
Yeah, it was very good.
Okay, so now what's your rating on it? What do you give it?
8 out of 10.
Okay, so you give Hail Caesar 8 out of 10. As a point of reference, what do you give Pootie Tang?
that's not where I thought you were going to go. 10 out of 10, 11 out of 10. There's nothing bad I could say about Pootie Tang.
That's a trick question, because Pootie don't need no ratings. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna take a break for a minute, and when we get back, we'll see where this school bus is going.
Can I talk to Lula?
You are not gonna see him ever.
Michael, I'd go the far end of the world for you, baby.
A man can't ask for more than that.
You move me, Sal. You really do.
You want me to shoot Sailor in the brains with a gun?
Uh-oh. Lola!
I didn't have much parental guidance.
Baby, you better run me back to the hotel. You got me hotter than Georgia asphalt. This whole world's wild at heart and weird on top.
To believe in your lies and all in my
skin, neither own of a grasp of forgiveness. She snapped when she knew it, the realization that life had beat up her heart. The fight was almost too hard. Is she the only one who sees? Is she the only one who cares? She didn't want to know anymore, so she left. Is she the only one who sees? Is she the only one who cares? She didn't want to know anymore, so she left.
Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. There you go. You know what Gavin did to me the other night? He was sick. He woke up in the middle of the night and he was like crying. He wouldn't really talk to me. And then I went into the bathroom with him, and he threw up right in the sink. Refuses to throw up in the toilet.
Yep.
Throws up in the sink. I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, as long as it's not on the fucking floor, that's all I care about. So the next night that day I went to work. I asked about him, asked my wife about him, and she said he's on and off complaining that his stomach hurts. So I was like, okay, that stinks. I don't know what's wrong with him, but he never threw up again. But when he went to bed, she put the bathroom trash can in there. So if he threw up,
yeah.
He would just have that. He wouldn't have to like try to rush to the bathroom.
It's like a life preserver for kids.
That's a life preserver for daddy too,
and your carpet
in more than one way.
Yes.
When he needs it, it's a life preserver for me because I don't have to fucking clean it up. Mm-hmm. It's a life preserver for me when I need the damn trash can.
You ever woke up like with like the line across your forehead because you fell asleep like in the trash can?
I've never actually done that. No,
you never lived until you woke up.
I really have not. So like a day or two go by, and I think I left it in there. And then one day I cleaned up his room, so I took it out of there. And I'm going to bed. I'm putting him to bed. I'm doing everything, and he's like, "Oh, take my cup and put it somewhere special, so I have it." I'm like, "Okay." So I'm holding it in my hand. I'm like, "All right, love you, Gavin. Good night." What? Aren't you forgetting something? I'm looking at the cup, looking at him, looking around. No, I did everything we usually do for bedtime. I'm like, all right, I give up. What did I forget? You forgot the trash can. I go, you don't need the damn trash can. Yep. Good night. Slam.
You know, now how old is he?
He'll be 5 next month.
Okay. I had this conversation with my oldest who's, you know, she'll tell you she's 17, but she's not 17. She's almost 17.
30. Oh.
And you know, we'll be talking about stuff. And I'm like, you know, I've enjoyed every phase of you kids' life. I've enjoyed every aspect, every phase from babies to now. And you'll start to see this as he gets older. There's like eras of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I really can't wait until I can't wait to find out what the next one is.
Oh yeah.
That having been said, I told her, I'm like, sometimes though, I would love it if the solution to the problem is changing a shitty diaper. Because the older your kids get, the quicker you have to be as far as fixing problems, solving, yeah. You know, coming up with solutions, coming up with answers. It's exhausting. It's just I can't wait to see what's next. But man, I'd love to change a diaper and be the hero again. It would just be great,
right?
Well, before we get too much further, and I'm gonna turn the house lights down a little bit, because I want to talk about something real quick. Longtime listeners of the show will remember our friend D, who's been on the show during some of the live episodes. His mother passed away a couple days ago. Now, aside from Steve's mom, there's my biological mother. There's Steve's mother, and then there's Dee's mom. Growing up, these two women were like my second mother.
Yeah.
Well, she was in her 90s, which is staggering to think about.
Yeah.
She's from England. She was a war bride. She was there during World War II. She survived the Blitz. She met this West Virginia fucking hillbilly GI. Came over to the States with nothing. Eked a life out for herself. Became the primo premier Avon lady of this area. She was the boss. She was like the queen pin of Avon in this area.
I think I might have known her, actually.
Well, her name, they called her Gabby. She was a very old British lady.
I would have to ask my mom and dad. I would have to see a picture of her, but I remember my parents speaking with her when I was young. I was speaking with a young lady, a lady who probably by the time now would probably been in her 90s. And was her voice very distinctive, I think?
Well, she had an English accent, so yes.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that was it.
Well, what I'm getting at is...
Sorry. So sorry.
No, it's cool. I got to thinking about it. I hadn't seen her in a couple of years before she'd passed away. And Dee messaged me. His wife messaged me. We talked about it. And I got to thinking about you know how this thing goes where like it's like the cat, it's like the Cats in the Cradle song, you know, time just flies. You just lose track of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I'm sitting here going over my head, thinking about all the times we had together and all the fun we had and whatnot, I got to thinking about Facebook. And I got to thinking about all my friends on Facebook. Not my friends that I know personally, like you and Steve and Dee and the others, you know, Uncle Carl. But the friends that I've never met. But they were friends of friends who we met on Facebook, you know, and we've posted on each other's walls. We've commented on each other's stuff. We've messaged each other. But I got to thinking, I'm like, why in this day and age do I not video chat with these people?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's like, why am I not doing this? Because between the last time I saw Andy's mom and now, it was a good number of years. Time gets away from you. That's my moral lesson for this. So, here's my challenge, listeners. Whether I've met you or not, if you want to have a video chat, hit me up. You'll probably end up on the show, but hit me up. I want to talk to you. I think it's ridiculous. We live in a world where the world is extremely small thanks to social media versus...
I was just about to say, like, the world is the size of your hand right now.
Now, when we grew up before the advent of the internet and social media, the world was big. Well, now the world is small. Now, I talk to people on the other side of the planet on a routine basis. That wasn't even remotely possible when I was younger, because we had this thing called long distance calls.
I was about to say, I'm like, your dad's gonna say you're gonna get a bill.
Well,
for that.
Well, not just the Andy, for instance. Andy lived like 5 miles away from me, but because of some imaginary line that was drawn. He was long
area
distance.
Codes.
He would call me. We'd be talking. And my dad would walk by and go, "You better hang up because he's going to reverse the charges." But he called me. You know, there's no charges to me. You know, he can't, you know, he's daddy's 12. He doesn't know how to reverse a charge.
Yeah.
But the world we lived in versus the world we live in now is so drastically different. So if you, my challenge is if you want to have a video chat, let's do it. Whether you know me, whether you know me through somebody, I want to talk to you. Because life is short, and we really need to communicate more. That's my challenge. So hit me up. You know what? Publicly call me out on the page or send me an instant message. Whatever works for you.
The only thing I want to add to that is a couple clarifying points. Is if no one, for the people that might not realize this, for this challenge, you don't even need, excuse me, you don't need a microphone for your computer. You don't need a webcam for your computer. Most smartphones are equipped with a camera now. Almost all are. Obviously they have a microphone if they're a smartphone. That's all you need. You just need to go download Facebook Messenger, and built in right there, you just hit boom, video call, and you'll be connected to Paul. He'll get a little thing on saying, like, do you want to answer? Do you not want to answer? And you can just hit answer, and boom, you're facing each other. It's that simple.
And you know what? You don't even have to have a shirt on. James doesn't have to be the only one. we actually do the show with the Facebook video chat. It's so clear and, you know, easy to operate.
The latency between users is so much better than some of the other services out there. Mm-hmm. Skype.
Oh, God. Skype is terrible. So that having been said, I noticed, like, your wife never does, like, the shirtless challenge.
Yeah. We were talking about that earlier today. Well, me and my buddy at work were talking about it. I pulled my phone out at work and I was checking my messages and I was sending my wife a message and he was like, "Oh, you getting those nudie photos?" And I'm like, "Nah, my wife doesn't do that." And he's like, "What? She doesn't just randomly send you a little titty?" I go, "No, unfortunately she doesn't have the confidence for that." Well, I wish you would, but no.
It's just, you know what? It's just us. We're all friends here.
Yeah.
All right.
Male, female, doesn't matter. Shirtless for life. Hashtag.
That's right. Hashtag brave. Don't forget that.
What a top.
Here's something I want to start doing. And once again, I need viewers to chime in on it. Recently, you know how these Facebook challenges come along and you tag people and... becomes
I don't
want to
talk
a thing.
About this right now.
Well,
I'm mad.
The current one that I'm embroiled in is 10 movies in 10 days. Now, when I got tagged for it,
I thought you made that one up.
No, I got tagged for it.
I was gonna say it sounded like one of those ones that were like like Steve's post a facial expression for had an impact
my
on your life.
Is, what was it? Seven pictures from seven bars in Iowa. Like, I told him to put it on the page because I'm just going to Photoshop me, like, doing like the George Bush, "Do you miss me yet?" You know, kind of wave. But no, a friend of mine posted me or tagged me in this thing. And, you know, it's 10 movies that made an impact on you. And I thought, all right, everybody who knows me knows, like, you know, what my favorite movies are. If you don't, shame on you.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm going to go a little more obscure with movies that like made an impact on me. And I would find a still from it that is like so far removed from what the movie's about to see who
like
picks up on
noise.
It. Well, on my page, some of my friends who are as big a movie buffs as I am, pick up on it pretty readily.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm thinking about doing is on the Don't Panic page, I'm going to post images from movies at random and let the audience figure out which movie it is.
Yeah, not even yourself.
I'll come up with a tagline for it, and then they can just guess which movie it is. So I plan on doing this. So listeners, if you want this, if you want me to do this, then let us know, because I'll start doing it. It's no secret how much I love movies and how much time I've wasted of my life watching movies. So if you want to see, like, if you want me to dip into my brain and pull out some bizarre couple of brain cells and splatter them on the Don't Panic group page, I'll do it. But I want to know you want me to do it first. Help me to help you. Help me.
Well, I'm afraid to inform you, Paul, that since I'm attached to this project, no one's going to respond to it, since that seems to be the running theme here, wherever I post something and I get the token like from Steve.
Well, I've noticed with Facebook, it goes in waves. Right now, I think we're on kind of like there's like the hardcore listeners are posting stuff.
Yeah.
But no, this is me telling you guys, if you want me to do this, I will do this. And maybe we'll come up with a contest. Like I'll send you like an autograph, like a shirtless autograph picture of myself if you guess the title of the movie. Without using Google image search or whatever that thing is.
Oh yeah, dragging and dropping it. Yeah.
Hey, Superfan James.
Hey, Paul.
What are four games you would recommend to our listeners?
Well, I just so happen to have four written down here.
It's because we're that simpatico. I know there are people that listen to our show that are gamers. Because
I know, like Aiden does.
Yeah, Aiden does, and I'm sure there's a lot of them. So okay, well, how about you give me out of those four, give me like the one big one and why? Which one do you recommend the most and why? And how do you find it? Does it cost anything? Those kind of things.
Well, I don't play by the rules. I'm going to give you two.
No, hey, guess what? You may only give them one.
Yeah, that's true. You're the editor. There's one game that I recommend, and it's for the hardcore gamers out there, because it's not really story-driven. It's definitely motor-dependent. They took this this game company out there called Clay, turned your childhood game of The Floor is Lava and turned it into a video game. And they did it really well. It's a first-person perspective. It's platforming,
mm-hmm.
but the controls feel really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of platforming in first person, the controls usually feel pretty clunky, or like the physics just in the game just aren't irritating.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this game is called Hot Lava. Mm-hmm. It is a Floor is Lava kind of game where you jump from safe spot to safe spot. And the point of the game is to go from the start of the level to the end of the level, going through checkpoints and trying not to fall into the lava, where if you fall into the lava, you restart the level, or if you made it to a checkpoint, you restart at the checkpoint. And there's different objectives. It's usually like beat the level within an X amount of time. Beat the level in an X amount of time that's less than the previous one. Like one level was like beat it within 8 minutes, and then it was like beat the level within 4 minutes. No deaths, find the golden pin, find the hidden comic book. I think that was all the objectives.
The objective is the floor is lava.
Yeah. It was it's like G.I. Joe kind of thing. That's the kind of like backstory. It's almost like you're playing a little G.I. Joe-like figure with a little kid controlling you, like jumping from different... you. That's the kind of thing, because you play as like an action figure. It's called GAT. It's exactly like G.I. Joe. I recommend it because it's really, really fun. It's only $10, $9.99 on Steam. Mm-hmm. And I would have to double check to see if it's still this way. But when I purchased it, and even like 2 or 3 weeks ago when my friend purchased it, you pay $10, you get one copy for yourself and one copy to give to a friend.
Mm.
I really want to get this word out there because this game is fantastic. I absolutely love Clay Interactive. I love their Don't Starve series. They are a wonderful game developer. And they have what loot crates is what the kids are calling them.
Mm-hmm.
But the great thing about it is you cannot play real money to get loot crates. You play the game, you get a daily bonus, as you beat objectives in levels, you get points that then you can use to buy loot crates that give you cosmetics for your action figures.
Okay.
It's like not really known, but like I feel like it's pretty unknown because there's no reviews for it on Steam right now. You can review it, but there's just no user reviews. But it's
what's
I give it like a 10 out of 10.
What's the name of it again?
Hot Lava. HOT space LAVA.
I'm going to ask Aramis because she does some stuff on Steam. I'm going to ask her tomorrow if she's done it.
Okay.
It sounds like something she would do. I mean, she did it in real life, so.
Yeah. I watch it and Gavin watches me. I play it and Gavin watches me sometimes play it. And it's just a lot of fun. The controls are very tight.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 4 hours one day playing the same level over and over again, trying to get like the best time. My best time on the first level is like 2 minutes, 45 seconds, I think, or something like that.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, I remember thinking lava was going to play a much more important role in my life.
And like, because of movies and stuff like that, it seems like, oh, like, there's some lava. I better, like, get away from it. But if you're so close to it as, like, you can see it rolling next to you, you're fucking dead.
You have melted. You know what we need to do? You need to play that game for, like, an hour and a half and do, you know, record the video of you playing that game for an hour and a half. And then send me that video. And then I'll use that video as like the video for the YouTube upload of this episode.
Okay, I can do that. Yeah.
Because then, you know, it one of the things we'll tag for it is, you know, the name of the game.
Yeah.
So kids across the world will watch a playthrough of you playing it while we talk about it. Hey, Superfan James.
Hey, Paul.
What's going on with that fucking coding thing you're doing?
Some of the listeners might have figured this out. I haven't really talked about it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I made a message about it on the page, tagging Aiden in it, trying to help him out. But I enjoy computer programming. And I've recently set my heart on becoming an indie game developer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been, over the last several months, really knuckling down and trying to get better at that and understand what I'm doing more. I've been reading a book recently about how to be a better programmer, how to write better code. And I've been following tutorials on YouTube and Plural Site, and I've been working on my own projects. Like my son and I came up with a board game racing idea that I've been putting together.
Mm-hmm.
I have too many game ideas that I've been like writing down about.
Well, I have another one to add to that list when you're done.
What's that?
You need a game where the shirtless dad, keeps his son from throwing up on the carpet and throwing up in a trash can. It's like Angry Birds, but with shirtless dad.
All right. Got it written down. Got an idea.
Now, for any of our older listeners who's basically anybody my age or older, the stuff you want to do, what they might not understand is we all play games. Like a couple years ago, it was like Angry Birds. I don't know what the new one is. It's probably like Angry Poop by now. I don't know.
It was Flappy Bird.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what the sensation is.
Guys like James design those kind of games. The games you take for granted. The games you play, you know, on your commute. The games you play, you know, when you're going out and you're hanging out with your friends and you're just sitting around playing these games where this kind of shit is happening. This is what these guys do. This is guys like SFJ are the guys who design this kind of stuff.
Take Flappy Bird, for an instance. Flappy Bird was a game that was sensational. Like, it was everyone was playing it. This dude was making hundreds of thousands of dollars a day from all the advertisement viewing on... When you play a game on your phone that has advertisements, if you look at that video, look at that ad, you accidentally tap on it, someone gets paid for that.
Yes.
This dude was had ads in his free game, and he was making hundreds of thousands of dollars a day from this game, and it was so simple. I want to research this. I was thinking about this very, very recently, last couple of days. This dude actually got in a lot of trouble because a lot of the art in this game was just a recoloring of someone else's work placed in the game. I believe the code and the concept was the same, was his original idea, I believe. But the artwork was just plagiarized.
Yeah, he lifted it, yeah.
I don't know if he ever actually had to like go to court or had to pay anyone for it.
He probably settled out of court.
Made millions of fucking dollars off of this game, and it was so simple. I don't know. I'm guessing he just had made a set of different assets for like when you see a pipe in the game. For those of you who don't know. Flappy Bird, you were a little bird, it would slowly move across the screen that kept moving, and every time you tapped the screen on your phone, it would jump. And you were supposed to make it jump without touching the ground, and as it was moving forward, pipes would come from the right side of the screen, and there would be gaps in the pipes, and you were supposed to time your jumps just right so you'd go through the pipes. What I believe he had was he had determined how wide those gaps were going to be. Mm-hmm. So when it would randomly select a pipe formation, and it would bring it on screen, and then it would randomly select another predetermined, like how wide the gap was going to be formation, and it would just keep going through. It would keep randomly selecting these formations, and I can tell you that was probably like 4 or 5 lines of code
most. Yeah,
most indie games, most games like Candy Crush, or like was like Angry Birds. They probably were made up. Angry Birds were probably pretty simple. They were probably made, it was probably the most simple I can think of. Couple, maybe like 100, 200, 300, or 400 lines of code. I would guess. I never recreated Flappy Bird, and I don't have an open source version of it, so I can't tell you, but I would have to imagine it's at least a couple hundred. So Flappy Bird made this dude millions of dollars. Less than 100 lines of code. for everything. The generation of how to bring pipes on the screen. Like I said, randomly selecting the pipes, 4 or 5 lines of code. The tapping animation. I could recreate it myself, actually. I have a couple tutorials on it. I could give you a definite answer later, but that jumping animation, one line of code, just, or a couple, maybe like 3 or 4. Listen for tap on screen. When on tap on screen, jump, add force against gravity that like is X, and it would move up, and then after that, gravity will take back over, and you'll start falling again. And like it just loops through that constantly. Yeah. So like less than 100 lines of code, some dude made millions of fucking dollars off of it.
I have another idea for a game for you.
Okay.
What's it called? What was it? Flappy? What?
Flappy Bird.
Flappy Bird?
Yep.
All right. Here's your next $1 million Don't Panic game. Flappy Bird.
Okay.
I think you can figure out where this is going. but seriously, for the people that don't play games on their phone, the what I'm taking away from this is simplicity wins every time. And here's the proof for the older listeners. You know, because Angry Birds, they jump around. It's not that complicated.
Yeah.
Simplicity wins every time, and here's the proof. The every listener knows who Bart Simpson is. Okay? Matt Groening once said that the secret to creating a successful image, a successful character, is to create a character that you can identify with a silhouette. All you need to recognize Bart Simpson is the spikes on his hair. Simplicity wins every time. Simplicity is what drives this show. Because
yeah,
we're nothing if we're not simple.
I mean, regarding the coding thing, I spoke with a developer who has published games on Steam, and he's pretty successful. He's not the most successful like name out there. He's no person who's like made Stardew Valley or anything like that, but he's pretty successful. I sat down and I had an interview with him, asked him a bunch of questions on I'm not in college. What can I do to be a game developer? And he said, make games, come up with a game, take a game idea, make it simple. After that, make it even more simple.
Yes. Are you familiar with what's called the elevator pitch?
Yes. But for the listeners that aren't familiar with this, please explain.
Well, say you're in Hollywood, you have an idea for a movie. If you can explain it in the elevator ride to the meeting, you've got it. So like,
yeah,
it's like Jaws meets Sophie's Choice in the desert. Hollywood will latch onto that because they understand that. You just gave the elevator pitch. You need to have the elevator pitch, which goes to my point that keep it simple. Whatever you're doing, simple always wins.
Simplify it, then simplify it some more.
Well, all right. Well, on that note, I don't have anything more to add to that. So, next week, well, first of all, James, thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome. the viewers don't know it, but we had some serious technical difficulties at the beginning of the show. Paul was sitting there looking at his watch for probably about 25, 30 minutes while I'm like, I don't have a mic. Now I have a mic, but I don't have an audio. Crap, I restarted my computer.
Yeah. And then here we are.
And now here we are. We got an episode in the bag. It's pretty good.
I've enjoyed it. I love talking to you. I'm hoping that in the near future, when Sally has wrapped up her solo adventure, we might bring in a second player into Tits and Dragons. And it will most likely be you, unless we do a contest. But we'll rig it so that you win the contest.
Yeah. The only thing that's the only thing I have to say. Recap. Steve or Paul, just you want to FaceTime him or like video chat him? Just send him a message. Yeah. Send me a message. I'll try to make some set of time to sit down and talk to the fans. My fans. I love you, fans.
He may or may not put a shirt on. That's an optional. You should have that as like a button they push. Shirtless?
Yeah.
Keep putting stuff on the Facebook group. We fucking love it. Even, you know, there's a couple of us that post regularly. There's some of us that post irregularly. We love it all. It's all part of the Don't Panic community. Next week, Steve will be back. I'm sure he's going to have no shortage of bizarre, only things that could happen to Steve on an 800-mile bike ride. Recap.
All right.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for being here for what's coming up on 4 years. God save the Queen.
And remember,
nothing
you have heard
of what
is true.
That's right.
That's what we keep inside our minds. That's what we keep inside our minds.
Mouse, you think you know people and then you don't. Then you wonder, have I met them before? But it doesn't matter. You're just information. That's what we keep inside our heads.